Well, it's Mike and Marilyn again. We're surrounded by plants. Did you ever think about how, you know, in nature, these plants started with little seeds and were nurtured and, you know, grew because of good soil, because of good rain and so on and so forth? Well,
have you ever thought about the fact that you're planting every single day into your marriage, and what is growing up depends on what kind of seeds you're planting.
The Power of Sowing and Reaping, Part 1.
This session we're going to be talking about sowing and reaping. And we're going to start with the verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Spiritual laws, just like natural laws, have a purpose. And even if we ignore those laws, the consequences are still the same. For instance, if you have children and you know that they're heading for a hot stove, they don't know that that stove is hot. They don't know that that's danger. And so the same way with spiritual laws, when we don't know them, that the consequences are still the same.
And one of those basic laws is sowing and reaping. And we are guaranteed to reap the harvest from directly what we have sown. So it's so important. We're going to go through this lesson and show you good seed that maybe you've sown, bad seed that you've sown, and to be aware of it so that we will know how God wants us to sow these seeds.
So where do we get the seeds that we sow? In Deuteronomy, it tells us that this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live.
And this is our seed sack that we're going to be going through. And you can see the scripture on there, Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20, that Tim just read.
So in John 10, 10, it says, "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, and life in all its fullness." And so as we look at these seeds that we're planting, there's these death seeds that Satan has. And then there's also the life seeds. The life seeds are what comes from Jesus. And that's in Romans 8 and verse 5. And it says, "Those who live as their human nature tells them to have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants." To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Life and peace is what we want in our homes. Life and peace is the life seeds that we're talking about.
Being controlled by our human nature brings death. Being controlled by the Spirit brings life.
A lot of times what happens, though, is we dig into those death seeds more often than we care to admit. Part of our testimony is that when we were taking this class, actually, this happened. I had stayed home from work that day because I wasn't feeling good. And just achy and, you know, kind of not that kind of achiness that you feel something's coming on. And we had just gotten chickens at the time. And so we had to go out and build this fence for them, you know, whether I felt good or not. Lori worked right alongside me. We got this fence up, and then I came back in and just plopped on the couch. I was done, you know. And Lori said, "Oh, I got to go to the store. And so I'll be back in a few minutes. And I just need to pick up a few things."
And Tim, you know, is a man who likes his food. And so that morning, knowing that he was going to be going to work, I had packed him a big lunchbox full of food for him for the day. But since he stayed home, I ended up making a big breakfast.
So anyway, Lori goes to the store and she was gone for 3 days. I'm not exaggerating, 3 days. And so, well, every time
minutes.
I looked at the clock, every time I looked at the clock, it was like, I just got more agitated and more agitated. And, you know, I'm kind of like going, man, it's 5 o'clock. Where's my dinner? And, you know, I got worked up into this frenzy of anger. And by the time she came home,
Well, I walked in the door. We live in a small town, so the store is only 5 minutes away. I was gone a total of 20 minutes. with driving back and forth, and I walked in.
3 days, like I said.
And when Tim gets angry, he gets these, I call them his little horns. Show them, hon.
No. I get veins pop out, and you know, it's kind of ugly. No,
and I could tell he was laying on the couch with the clicker in his hand, and he was very upset. But before I had left, I even put his lunchbox, which was full of food, next to him, said, you know, if you're hungry, you know, you can snack and stuff. Huh. Well, one thing led to another, and we got into a heavy situation.
We started digging into the death seeds. I mean, yeah. I was digging into the death seeds way before this, but it got so bad. I threw the remote across the room and it smashed against the wall, and, you know, I was stomping around, and the kids had come into the living room by then and going, what's going on?
I looked at one of our kids and I said, I was kind of like taken back, and I said, is this me or is this out of control? And I normally don't include the kids. We are very careful to make sure that we take our disagreements and work on them together. And of course, being that we have stepchildren as well together, one of the stepchildren joined in gladly yeah. on my side. And it escalated.
It escalated. And so we're going to talk about, as we sow death seeds, that sometimes the other person gives it a whirl like a merry-go-round, and then pretty soon it gets going so fast that it can't stop. And so that's what was happening. I mean, this was, you know, it was escalating. Finally, I said, man, that's it. I'll go get my own dinner. So I stomped out the door and slammed the door, and I got in my truck and I forgot the keys.
Well, in the meantime, I'm trying to calm the kids down, and he's gone. So I thought, okay, it's dark out by this time that we've gotten through all this. You know, it's just a natural thing of protection. I locked the door. In my heart, I wasn't locking him out. I just thought, okay, our covering's gone. Our protector's gone. I need to protect. And I locked the door. Well, I didn't realize he didn't have his keys. So all of a sudden, we hear this bam, bam, bam on the door. And I'm like, what? And so before I could get to the door to unlock it,
I kicked the door in, and, you know, splinters went flying everywhere, and, you know, I was still furious.
And of course, we're all afraid, because it was pretty much out of character for you to do that. I mean, he would get angry, but this kind of action was out of character. And so yes. Our one daughter called the police, picked up the phone and dialed 911. And on this small town, it doesn't matter. They come no matter what, you know, and she put the phone down. I said, hon, it's okay, you know, because we'd got him calmed down, and we were going to go in the room and pray and get back on course, you know, like we'd been taught. And so we're in the room and we're praying and everything's fine. And then we hear a knock at the door. And we both said, kids, it's okay. Everything's calm now. Mm-hmm. You know, we're praying through it. We'll be out in just a minute. It's all right. And we heard another
Mr.
knock.
Thiel. Do you have a gun in there?
So,
and we know the policeman.
Small town, we know everybody, they know us. And so consequently, they talked to Tim, they talked to me, and there goes Tim.
They took me out in the front yard, handcuffed me, took me to jail. Mm-hmm. So I spent the night in jail.
And I want to share real quick a scripture that the Lord had given me in regards to our relationship after this, because Satan started speaking to my heart that, you know, you've been dealing with this anger and this temper for so long, and nobody would blame you now if you left him. And God took me to a scripture. I always pray and I say, God, please show me in your word what you want. I'm confused now. He took me to it's 7:17 and 20. And I couldn't have come up with this on my own. I mean, I've read the scripture, but I don't have this, you know, great book memorized, but it says, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to you and to which God has called you. And in 20, it says, each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. And so God was showing me, you know, that I needed to stay in this place, that I was not to leave, because I was out on the back deck praying, going, I just don't think I can do this anymore. I'm worn out. But this is what he showed me. You stay where I've told you to stay. And it hit me deep in my heart. And so those seeds can be planted, but we can't entertain them. Otherwise, we just keep planting them. I could have left, and I would have had the backing of everybody in the community, because in our small community, if you get arrested, it goes in the paper. Mm-hmm. It's there for everybody to see. You know. And so I had to really be careful, and that's why we have to be very aware of the seeds that we choose. You know, stay aware constantly, and we need to choose life, just like the scripture says. And it's a constant choice that we have to do. So,
we are responsible to choose what seeds we plant.
As we're talking about sowing and reaping, we want to use this example because it's extreme for us. This is a tough lesson in sowing and reaping that we had to learn.
We were students. We had just gone through the class, and the Lord had put it on our hearts to come into the ministry as coaches. And so here we were feeling like we were shipwrecked. What are we going to do now? Who are we? You know, so we're going to share more about what the results of that happened. Yeah. We want now to talk about the types of seed that we sowed. And one of those types of seeds are our words. Our words are so powerful. I know Tim and I work together, you know, and Tim is an expert in the business that we have of architectural drafting. And so there's times I just feel, and I'll even say to myself, I just can't do anything right for him in our business. You know, well, those are dangerous words. Those are death seeds. Mm-hmm. Or I can say to myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So give me what I need, you know, to know what to do, you know. And so we have to be very careful of our words, even that we say to ourselves.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. This is wrong.
The other thing is the attitudes. Sometimes you can do good things. For instance, I might do something for Lori, but if I do it with a bad attitude, it's not a good thing anymore. And so it's actually a death seed. What I think is a life seed is actually a death seed. And another thing is, you know, I can serve God. That's a good thing, right? But if I serve God with pride, then it's not a good seed. So it's actually a death seed. So you want to be careful of your attitudes as you sow your seeds.
And also our actions. We need to be very careful about our actions. And I remember one time we were still dealing with trying to understand the chemical imbalance and me being a reactor. I was laying in bed, in a water bed, back in those days when water beds weren't really comfortable.
But they were cool.
They were cool, but I was 9 months pregnant in a water bed. And I remember God telling me that he wanted me to go and say I was sorry to Tim. And I had this conversation with God saying, God, do you see me? I am 9 months pregnant. I can hardly get out of this bed, and you want me to go say I'm sorry to him? When in my mind, he's the one that caused the problem. Mm-hmm. And God said, yes. So I proceeded to get out of bed and went out to Tim, and he was asleep on the couch, and I just rubbed his head, and he woke up, and I said, hon, I'm really sorry. And so instead of demanding him to say he's sorry first, my actions, you have to be very careful. God said, you do it first.
Yes. And the neat thing about that story is that, you know, even though I was laying on the couch, you know, grumbling and complaining, you know, proving that I was right in what I was doing, when she said she was sorry, it softened everything in me, where I was able to say, then I'm sorry also. So it diffused that whole situation. Mm-hmm. And so that's an action, is being able to say you're sorry, be the first one to say you're mm-hmm. sorry. Those are healthy actions that are life seeds instead of death seeds.
Pick one category of either words, attitudes, or actions, and share about one seed you are personally sowing into your marriage. The Power of Sowing and Reaping, Part 2.
So the next thing we want to talk about is, where do we sow these seeds into? And we sow seeds into lives. We sow them into our own lives. We sow them into our spouse's lives, into our children, into other people's lives. And we can talk about the types of soil. There's a verse in the Bible about the rocky soil. When you have a hardened heart, that's a rocky soil. Or you have weeds. Weeds are like distractions. You know, we're so busy nowadays that we have all these weeds that are cluttering up and coming in and robbing the harvest, the good seeds that are growing there. But what we mostly want to talk about is what healthy soil looks like. Healthy soil is cultivated by being in the Word of God. And by reading His Word every day, what happens is it keeps our heart soft. It keeps us in tune with the Lord and hearing from Him. If we're sowing into ourselves, what we do is We spend time in the Word and we spend time in prayer. If we're sowing into other people, what we do is we do intercessory prayer. So we're praying for them.
If we want to change what we are reaping, we need to change what we are sowing.
So there's also factors to the harvest. And the first factor is that what we reap comes in a different season than what we plant. And we understand this in the natural. I mean, nobody in their right mind would plant a seed in the ground and go out the next day and go, I wonder if it's growing yet.
I love to garden, and that's my time with the Lord when I'm working the soil and planting, and it's just such a precious time for me with the Lord. And during this time, I was interceding on behalf of my husband and trying to keep my own heart right. But I was in the garden, and I don't know if any of you know how carrots grow, but there'll be this beautiful top to the carrot. It's just gorgeous. And you think, oh, it's time, and you're waiting and waiting to watch that get bigger and bigger. And I was out in the garden, and I thought, I'm going to try and see, you know, if the carrots are ready, because it looks so beautiful. I mean, the tops were huge. And so I went out and I picked it up, and here was this little itty bitty teeny tiny little carrot. And I was so disappointed. And I'm like, oh God, it looked so beautiful. And he said, but that's what you're doing with your husband. He said, you're trying to get the harvest before it's ready. I was trying to be his Holy Spirit is really what I was doing. And so you need to be careful. I needed to be careful. And it was such a precious time with the Lord to show me that. He said, it's too soon. It's too soon. Just let me have him.
If you look at a little plant as it's coming up, you see a little sprout, and a little sprout does not look anything like a stalk of corn. Sometimes when we're planting love, if I'm planting love into my spouse, what I see coming back the next day is not love. And it takes a season for that to happen.
We will always reap what we have sown. And it says in Galatians 6:7, for whatever a man sows, that only is what he will reap. And so God was wanting me to love him out of a wounded past. You know, and there is such a multiplication factor in that as we get healed, our children get healed. And then our families get healed, and then the community gets healed. And we have fruit trees, and this is just a little example, but these are apple seeds from one apple from one of our fruit trees. Okay, and each one of these seeds, I think there were 8 seeds that came out of that apple. And then each one of those seeds represents a tree full of hundreds of apples. So you see the multiplication factor. Well, it's the same in the spiritual laws as well, in our love. I mean, we did not realize when we started out as students in this course and allowing God to heal us, how many couples we would be able to help heal as well. And that's what we look at now, is we're so grateful of the multiplication factor that comes just from this one relationship.
Yes, so not only do we have the different seasons, and then we reap in kind, but we also reap more than what we sow. Lori was showing you the apple seeds. You can count how many seeds that are in an apple. There was 8 of them. Mm-hmm. But you can't count how many apples are in the seed, because the tree grows and it produces year after year. And so that's a multiplication factor of, you know, thousands, millions of apples that come from that. But you always reap more than what you sow. You plant a kernel of corn and you don't expect a kernel of corn back. You get two cobs on a plant, 2 or 3 cobs on a plant. There's an average of 700 kernels on a cob. And so the same thing happens in the spirit. We get more than what we sow. And so as we are talking about, we talked about that downward spiral as we were talking about the arrest. The downward spiral happens when we're sowing death seeds. We're reaping a harvest of death seeds, and we're replanting those death seeds. And so we get a lot of death seeds happening. But the opposite of that can also happen with life seeds. And you can have an upward spiral of planting life seeds and reaping the harvest and planting more life seeds. We saw all the death seeds, and we weren't looking at any good seeds. It just seemed like there was a lot of weeds in our garden. And I remember going through this lesson and just saying, oh, I'm not doing anything right. You have to focus on the good seeds also. You want to encourage those good seeds. You want to nurture the soil around the good seeds.
And again, we need to recognize that if we are planting bad seed, don't come under condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so if you recognize that you've been planting bad seed, just like we were planting bad seed, you know, we need to repent. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And we always say repentance is the weed killer. Tim was talking about weeds early. Repentance is the weed killer. But also be careful and don't be discouraged. Sometimes, you know, when we do actual weed killer on our weeds, we just did this right before we came here. It looks like there's little new growth in the weeds at first. So it takes a little bit, just like with us. It takes a while, you know, as we're planning to get the harvest like we talked about. So don't get discouraged. And allow God to, you know, give you the new seed that he wants you to sow. Ask him for it. You know, so many times I say, I don't know how to do this. God, I need your help. You need to show me. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. So not only will he supply it, he will increase it. We just have to have the willing hearts and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That is such a powerful scripture. It brings tears to my heart because we have had some tough times, but now we are really reaping a harvest of love, and it's been increased larger than we could even imagine. And God will do that if our hearts are willing.
All of the tough things that we've gone through, and we shared about the arrest, we wouldn't trade that for anything to be where we're at now. We appreciate where that God used that to stop that anger. But we wouldn't trade any of that for where we're at now, because now is the harvest of the life. Now is the good harvest. Mm-hmm. So remember, as you're planting seeds, that it's words, attitudes, and actions. And so our words need to line up with the Word of God. We want to spend time in the Word so that we're cultivating that soil and keeping our hearts soft. As men, our hearts can become hard through the world, through being at work all day and around other men, or, you know, just out there. And so we need to soften our hearts before we get home. Spend time in your car before you walk in the door.
Dave and Sherry in a previous session talked about, you know, God taking the, creating woman from the rib of Adam, and that surrounds the heart to keep it soft. Well, we're not supposed to be surround sound to our husbands. Mm-hmm. What the Lord showed me is I was his Holy Spirit. I would leave scriptures everywhere for Tim to make sure he saw the scriptures about anger and loving his wife. And maybe I wouldn't be a surround sound verbally, which we women can be by nagging our husbands. Mm-hmm. Nagging. And then what happens is they close us off. Yeah. So we're talking about nagging, but I would do it in a different way through scriptures and different things like that. I was his Holy Spirit. Almost, it was a religious spirit that I had towards my husband. And that's surround sound. That's not surrounding him and softening his heart through intercession and prayer and loving him the way God wants him to.
As you recognize death seeds you have sown, remember that repentance is the weed killer.
And I want to read 2 Corinthians 10:5 to you, and it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so remember, you know, Satan is so in charge of the flesh. So we need to really, as we talked about, guard our thoughts. And the one way that helps me, again, I just can't stress this enough, is being in his word. You know, it says that right there. Take it captive. You don't dwell on it. You know, it's, and this is such an important tool. This is what has helped me so much into not being a reactor and an enabler.
The goal of this session is to recognize what you have planted to create the harvest you are reaping. Take a few minutes and talk about what you are sowing. The Power of Sowing and Reaping, Part 3.
So next we want to talk about how to avoid strife. And we gave you a good example of how to get in strife. But now we want to talk to you about what we've learned about how to avoid strife. In James 3:16, it says, where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. What that means is that when there's strife in your home, you've left the door wide open to the enemy to come in.
Well, and just like when Tim kicked the door in during this altercation that we had, the door was unlocked all night long while he was in jail, you know, and it was a very unsafe. I mean, we had allowed Satan to take our protection of God and everything away, we allowed evil to come in. It even affected our children. I was sitting on the front porch with our kids, and our one little girl, she was 4 at the time, our youngest, and she sat there and she said, and she had her little finger, she says, "I don't want that man back in our house." But she didn't say my dad. She recognized the spirit. And I hate to even bring that back up because I know I don't want any condemnation on him, but she recognized the evil that had come in, not her daddy. She didn't say, "I don't want my daddy." She loves her daddy. But she recognized the evil that had come in the home, and it just hit my heart so deep because it does bring in every evil work.
So we want to make sure that we don't allow that strife into our home.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we have to remember that, you know, especially during this time, I had to really remember that Tim wasn't the enemy. Satan was the enemy. I was praying when he was in jail, and I was asking the Lord, because Satan was trying to come in again, you know, and I couldn't have come up with a scripture on my own, but it's in 2 Corinthians, and it's about, I use this also in forgiveness, but it's so powerful. And it says, "He was punished enough when most of you were united in your judgment against him." Because like I said, you know, we were all united as far as the police were there, the report in the paper, you know, people at church now, you know, we're all coming against him because of the situation that happened. But it says, "Now it is time to forgive him and comfort him. Otherwise, he may become so discouraged that he won't be able to recover. Now you show him that you still love him. I wrote to you as I did to find out how far you would go in obeying me." So my obedience was being tested. Was I going to choose God over all the other people's voices? Was I going to obey God and love my husband the way God wants me to love him? It was a turning point for both of us. You know, him allowing to get help with the anger and me to being obedient to God and loving him and staying with him, you know. So it was a huge test for me. And it said, "When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive him for whatever it is to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit." So it was for our benefit in obedience to Christ. It's so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are very familiar with his evil schemes. Well, this was a huge evil scheme. To get us, to split us, to get us off course, you know, not come in and get healing through this ministry and be able to give out to other couples. And we could have taken the bait, but fortunately God got a hold of us, you know. So this is why it's so important to not take those hooks of strife.
And one of the reasons that I know God's love for me so deeply is because Lori has modeled that through my ugliest times, through those times when I'm ashamed that I have to tell those stories. But because of those things, I know God's forgiveness and God's love through you. So thank you.
I thought I was a very forgiving person, and I wasn't. God had to really soften my heart that way. So
we made reference before about the merry-go-round and, you know, this downward spiral. Well, the thing about a merry-go-round, when you give it a spin, it's pretty easy to stop it. But if the second person gives it a spin and then the third, you answer back and got to get the last word in, pretty soon that merry-go-round is going so fast that it would rip your arms off if you tried to stop it. As we talk about strife, it's real important not to be the person that gives it another spin.
Yeah.
And so we want to stop that strife before it begins, or nip it as soon as possible. Before it gets that momentum going.
Mm-hmm. Next, we're going to talk about a very powerful tool that we received through this course. And it's called Strife Break. And so it's a way to know how to handle when you get in these situations. When we recognize that it's starting to get to be a heated situation, we give each other permission to say Strife Break. Okay, but that doesn't mean you say, "It's obvious you're in strife. Mm-hmm. I'm calling a Strife Break." You don't do that.
Or get one more word in, then call Strife Break.
Yes, because if you do that, it can just escalate it too far and you can't catch yourselves. And so we give each other, we yield our most unruly member, the tongue.
The tongue.
And I want to read James 3, verses 3 through 10. This is kind of interesting because we have horses, so we can really relate to this scripture. It says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. And I don't know if you understand horses, they're very big creatures, and we're just little humans. But by a bit, you can control that huge animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, whether the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is set itself on fire by hell. All kinds of animals and birds, reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. Hmm. And that just blows me away. We can be loving and worshiping and praising God and turn around and be so nasty to each other with this little part of our body. It's a relentless evil and full of deadly poison. We need to be really careful. So this strife break is so important, to avoid strife, so that we're not throwing those things out at each other. And one thing we do, if you pray in the Spirit, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we recommend that we come together and we pray for about 3 minutes in the Spirit.
No more, no less.
If you go too longer, you'll be reluctant. And if not less, your flesh isn't subdued, you know, the tongue isn't tamed. And just let the Holy Spirit minister and to ourselves and get our flesh out of the way so that we can come back together, filter through God's filter, not all of our fleshly filters because of the anger. And
the great thing about this tool of strife break is that we are taking something where our flesh is rising up and we're saying, no, we choose to plant in the Spirit. In Galatians 6:8, it says, if you plant in the field of the Spirit, from the Spirit you will gather the harvest of eternal life. And I like this next verse also that says, so let us not become tired of doing good, for if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest.
That's one of those scriptures that God had given me that Tim read, that you will reap harvest if you don't give up.
The harvest that we want is love, joy, peace. That's what we want in our home. And we are promised that if we plant love, joy, peace, that we are going to get a harvest of love, joy, and peace.
Absolutely.
We are guaranteed a harvest of what we sow if we do not give up.
And verse 18 of James that we just read, talking about the tongue, it says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Isn't that powerful? So to choose that peace, we will be raised up in righteousness. That is so powerful, this little thing. So we need to be so careful and choose the way God wants us to choose, to be willing.
Stay tuned for the next session, which will be on forgiveness.
That's a real pivotal lesson, so be ready.
Dear Father, we see ways that we have planted wrong things in our marriage. We desire to sow life-giving words, attitudes, and actions.
We ask for your forgiveness and cleansing from strife and wrong harvests. Help us to sow wonderful, life-giving seeds into our marriage and receive your bountiful harvest of joy.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Go to The Power of Forgiveness, Part 1.